Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. How's it going out there? I'm so happy to be here. And, we are having some amazing times, some trying times. And I've been mentioning this the last couple weeks that typically on our show, and so many of you that are used to us, that listen to us, download us later, and there may be people listening that never heard of us. So you're listening to Realty Universal Radio. I'm Natalie Mullinex. And typically, because of podcasts and the way they run, we don't go into dates and times, et cetera. But right now, everybody in the world on this earth we live on is having challenging times. I think even people that aren't having times with money, maybe that have plenty of money, are and not losing businesses and not losing things, are still having challenging times. Even the animals are having times because we are going through such a change, and the earth is more quiet now than it's been in years because the seismic meters that are registering are finding that we don't have, that the cities aren't open. This isn't open. This isn't open. And, of course, slowly we're going to open up. But huge changes. And I think a lot of people are thinking, where do we belong? What are we doing? And so I am bringing up that more in these last few weeks and the following weeks until we can get back into what we're used to. We still want to focus in on what's important, because that's really important, to not lose ourselves in the storm. We're supposed to still stay, you know, methodically focused and going. And so today, I love this, because we're going to mix in real estate, and, you know, lots of times we just do half and half, and sometimes just one or the other, or spiritual and something going on in the community, life. Today, we're going to do a little bit of everything. Anybody that's been thinking of moving to Asheville, North Carolina, Charleston, Pleasant, South Carolina, you're in for a huge treat, because you're going to get some real good gold nuggets about it. And Matthew Ledford is coming on right now. He's an investor, consultant. He's also an agent with eXp Realty, which is kind of all over the country right now, parts of Canada, and expanding into Europe and Australia, I believe. He is going to give us so much information, but he's also the founder of FastPivot.com. And nowadays, we all need to pivot, whether we're shedding and saying, hey, I'm not going to do this anymore with my life, or I'm doing this. We need to keep the basics because we have to eat and stay healthy. And there's just so much going on right now from a psychological point of view, spiritual, economy, the world, politics, you name it. And It's like I feel like it's just a whole back. So I want to say, without further ado, welcome Matthew Ledford. Hey, how you doing?
Awesome, Natalie. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. It's an honor to be here with you today, and look forward to sharing some time with you and your audience. And I just appreciate the work that you're doing to create conversations that are positive and life-giving, and also very helpful, equipping for folks. I listened to some of your earlier podcasts, and I would encourage people to go back and check out the archive, because there's some great stuff that is there that is very useful and helpful with the guests that you guys have on the podcast. And so thank you for the opportunity to be with you today.
Thank you. I'm so thrilled because today we get to get, you're amazing in what you've done and what you're doing, and you're so heart-centered too. And, it, you know, I always say for us in real estate, real estate's our vehicle, you know, to touch the lives.
Yes.
Because,
yeah.
And, you know, because there's so much that goes on. So I want to, because what I mentioned doesn't even touch on you, like with what you've done and what brought you to this point. So tell us a little bit about you more, you know, more about you and how you got into all of this.
Well, it's kind of an interesting journey along the way. You know, I grew up in Asheville, North Carolina, so that's my home. And that's where I am today. Lovely spring morning. Yesterday we had a bear visit us in the driveway.
Really?
And then go up the side yard. Oh. Yes, a black bear. Yeah, they're beautiful, beautiful. I think he was a teen bear. He looked a little awkward, had kind of little skinny legs. And so he looked like he just gotten emancipated from his mama and was kind of checking out the yard, and the neighbor dog barked and he kind of picked up the speed and hit him up. But so I'm in Asheville, a town
I love it.
And I'm blessed to live in what I call the best of both worlds, because we also have a place in Charleston, South Carolina, and I'm building teams both places with EXP. It's interesting. You mentioned Fast Pivot, company I still own. Fast Pivot, we were fortunate to ride kind of the wave, the gold rush, so to speak, of catalog building. When nobody had e-commerce websites, nobody had online catalogs. And so I kind of saw that wave.
So you were starting, was that like the 80s? Not to interrupt you, was that like the 80s you started it, or when?
So far back, it's like 20 years ago. I mean, before Google went public, I was at the Google pre-IPO party in San Jose. And, you know, way, way back. When there were just a few people had catalogs, people were doing mail order, but, you know, the internet started, you know, I remember when the internet was text. That gives a sense of how old I am at this point. And I was amazed with the ability to connect with people across distances and information over time. And so it's interesting to see how it's grown and multiplied, and even the miracle of what we're doing today in recording a podcast that people can hear around the world is still just amazing and fascinating to me, the connectedness, you know, of us all.
Mm-hmm.
And then the business opportunities that evolve or develop from change, and change is constant, right? I mean, it's like it may be more dramatic.
The only thing we can count
on. Experiencing now. Yeah, you can count on change. I mean, that it's not going to stay the same, you know, and sometimes it's a good confession just to remind yourself this too shall pass, you know.
That's a good point. But let me ask you, your cattle,
one of the,
that it will pass, but it doesn't feel like it in the middle of it, right?
Yeah,
but your catalog business, so did you end up selling that, or did you take it and put it online? Mm-hmm. Like, what did you do as things evolved?
Sure, yeah, we still serve a few clients. We've had some acquirers, some potential suitors. We haven't sold the brand yet, and so I'm looking at pivoting, Fast Pivot, into the new season to do some things different with business consulting. And the leverage that we have being a Google partner, understanding Facebook. I mean, one of the things in real estate that a lot of people don't realize is 85% of the home searches start out online, and they may get portals
that,
Google. You know, and so a lot of that, and especially now with COVID and quarantines and virtual showings and virtual tours and FaceTime tours, I mean, these are things that I was doing before this came along, especially for out-of-state buyers in the Charleston market, touring homes, you know, with your cell phone, you know, become even more critical, you know, for folks to have the skills to be able to be digitally savvy. And internet smart, to be efficient, you know, and to be helpful, to serve well, you know. And so,
Fast Pivot. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you can see Fast Pivot, fastpivot.com. And we serve lots of big brands over the years. Interesting thing about business cycles is that every market matures, you know? And so as you would imagine, most people that want a catalog have one now. Although what we're seeing is a wave of businesses that are forced to do business online, especially restaurants, you know, that create another wave of opportunity for us, you know, to be able to digitally enable order fulfillment, or you know, enable them to connect with more webinars, you know, more Zooms,
right,
more virtual connections, selling more virtually than they did before, because we don't travel to. I mean, if you think about all the conferences that got canceled when this thing hit, you know, one of EXP's companies, Virbella, already has a virtual world where you can host an entire conference. You know, so
they bought that out. They bought Virbella out, right?
Yeah.
I saw that. Yeah, they bought them out.
Which is good. And it's an amazing technology. I mean, I don't know how my avatar, I think, is really cooler than I am in person.
You can make it look so cute.
I don't really know if I don't know if I want an avatar, but you know, if I have to have one, he's going to be cool. You know, and so you know, we live in an amazing time. You know, and part of what I see, especially is working with other realtors and coaching and talking with friends, it's like, you know, you look at the crisis and you say, okay, is the glass half full or half empty? You know, you can focus on what you can't do, which there are a lot of things right now when people are stuck in their homes that they cannot do, you know, or you can focus on what you can do, you know, and recognizing that and being grateful for that. You know, it's just so key. And so, you know, I don't know if I found my new groove really with this whole, you know,
it's kind of like we're in the middle of it. We're not, the meal's not finished yet. You know, like when you're cooking a big meal or you make a pot of soup, like there's all these different things going on, and then you have to be really good and get it all ready at the same time. But you know what you're going for, right? You know, or just like with goals and projections and schedules. Right now, everything's kind of off because you can't count on the mail or count on this or count on that. So I think, we're seeing, I can understand where you're saying you're not sure yet, because I don't think any of us are sure yet. It's kind of topsy-turvy, you know? Yeah.
Well, the thing that I'm realizing is, and it's an opportunity, to get your heart right and your mind right. And one of the things I focused on, I love Hal Elrod and Miracle Morning, and used a little 5-minute journal, you know, to build upon gratitude, you know, just starting.
Do you do that? Do you do that in the morning?
Yes.
Do you do that?
Yes.
I do too.
Oh, it's so. And
not
the
Elrod.
I
mean, I do my own. You know, we have our own.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But the days I miss it, I'm like, it's not right. Your day is not the same. It's like if you don't start off on the right foot, you know, it's like because the news is coming at us from 100 different sources, trying to really, there's a battle for our mind and our mindset, you know, and that's our operating system for life. It's like, okay, part of my baseline is gratitude, you know, and the thing I realize is we take things for granted. You know, my favorite park in Mount Pleasant is at the end of Pitt Street, and I can run from my house there to see the Charleston Harbor in all its different moods, which is just incredible because it's every day is different. We can see the sunset over Charleston from the Pitt Street Bridge. And part of the quarantine in South Carolina was they closed, or at least in our part of South Carolina, they closed the parks, both Alhambra Hall, where the dogs walk, where you can see the harbor, and our favorite little Pitt Street Bridge that was the old crossing going over Sullivan's Island. And I was like, that was my default run. You know, I run 3 miles almost every day at least. And then, but that was taken kind of from me by a good choice. But you realize how much you take for granted the blessings that are part of every day when they're not there temporarily.
Every day.
You know, and so, coming back out there, when it reopens, it's like, what a gift this is. I should see this as a gift every day, not just when it's been taken away, but recognize the gift of the day and the opportunity in every moment of it, you know?
I agree, because we're given such a beautiful world. I mean, the flowers, the birds, the, you know, the animals, and it's just so majestic, you know, and when you think about it, and it really is peaceful for us. I do the meditations in the morning, and I pray in the morning. I have my little routine, and I like listening to Mary Morrissey a lot. She has a lot of wonderful meditation tapes that you can listen to. I don't meditate laying down. I mean, I do lay down, or I don't sit up and do, you know how different people learn different ways to do things. I think it's whatever groove you get into. And she has a lot of them on it's the forgiveness, you know, the gratitude, right? Because forgiveness,
nice.
Gratitude, love, peace. But it is interesting when you do that routine and get grounded in the morning, it really helps you for the rest of the day with the things that
yeah.
can come at us. I find
it's
really
huge.
Awesome.
It's huge.
And nature,
it's huge.
So
well, and
you do marathons?
There's less noise.
Too? You do marathons?
Well, you know,
yeah.
I've mostly traveled. You know, I like the variety. I've done some half marathons with the runs, and then my
great.
Favorite is swim because it has the least impact at this point. So my favorite event in Charleston is called the Lowcountry Splash, and it's a 2.5-mile swim with current in the Charleston Harbor. And so I'm looking
wow.
for ways to be trained up for that because it got bumped from Memorial Day to September this year with the current situation.
Oh, they did reschedule,
but,
though.
Know,
that's good that they rescheduled.
They did. They reserved the date in September. So hopefully that's still going to happen. We'll see. You know, I'm optimistic, but not banking on it. And, you know, the thing I'm realizing, especially the older I get, the reward of the morning and before the noise begins and before the phone messages start coming in is sacred time. I mean, it's just key, you know, and ideally before the sun's coming up or as the sun's coming up, I mean, God puts on a show twice a day, right? And most people don't pay any attention
mm-hmm.
to it, but we have sunrise and sunset. It's the opening curtain
beautiful?
With the opportunities the day brings, and then the curtain closes at night to wrap up the day, you know. And so
beautiful.
Part of my goal is to catch as many of those as I can wherever I am, you know, and together with the journaling and kind of prayer and just openness to whatever God wants to put on the agenda for the day, you know, yielding my calendar.
That is interesting, isn't
because,
it? Because we have different gifts, right?
Can,
we each have different gifts, and
yeah.
you listen to it comes out. It really does. That's exciting.
Every day is a blank sheet of paper, you know, with I think there's a Swedish proverb that talks about it's a blank sheet of paper with fresh new crayons, you know, for us to be able to write and create whatever masterpiece that we'll create with it. And so, you know, starting it right. And I'll tell you, Natalie, one of the things I'm learning is the value of stretching, flexibility. And so I get out my stretching
mm-hmm.
mat, my foam roller, and, you know, as I'm journaling and kind of opening up the day, and I still drink coffee. Don't judge. You know, there's some people that are anti-coffee.
I don't judge it.
I still
drink decaf coffee.
It still keeps me going. I think coffee's probably more important than oil, you know, because if you didn't have coffee, you probably couldn't get the oil
you know,
around the world, you know.
You got to love this stuff, right? You got to enjoy
yeah.
what you're doing. Like, you know, it's like no
right.
pain, no gain. No, that's not totally true. There's ways to do things,
no.
you know, that are not painful that still, yeah, the stretching. I do the stretching, too. There's an old Nishi system, a friend of mine who passed at 90. His back was straight as could be. His mother lived to be 100,
wow.
who Japanese. In Hawaii, they used the Nishi system. You can look it up, and they knew the man really well, and it was all about the stretching and the fasting in the morning. And it's amazing how much our bodies, you know, we're learning so much more now, I think, right, than what people –
yeah.
we're so built so beautifully. What are you seeing, for example with all this going on, because with you being with EXP, you're having meetings about different areas, et cetera. Are you seeing a lot
yeah.
of fear or just not worrisome? What are you seeing?
The amazing thing is, I mean, we're having right now Shareholder Summit. I think it's at shareholdersummit.com. The EXP shareholders are coming together for a virtual conference. And there is caution, but optimism. You know, I think I'm seeing in the Charleston market, we're setting records in terms of weekly properties going under contract. In fact, this last week,
really?
The last 2 weeks in a row, the number of properties under contract have set records week over week, the highest number
so
of transactions.
So it's not hurting.
In
it's
history.
Not hurting right now, and
no,
it's not hurting
no.
then.
There was a dip. I mean, I think what we had was some of the demand was suppressed when people weren't able to go out during COVID. Since then, you know, I don't know that I would call it a V-shaped recovery. But the two
right.
weeks that we're seeing most recently in the Charleston market data are kind of like you hold a cork or you hold a, you know, a float underwater. And then and when you let go of it, it goes popping up out of the water, you know, and that's kind of what I'm seeing as far as numbers in Charleston, as far as residential data. You know,
really?
A lot of the lenders, it's incredible. Yeah. And it's faster than I thought it would be. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, I looked at mobile technology and how quickly would Netflix be on my phone, you know,
right.
and it was there faster than I thought it was going to be, way faster.
Right.
And then I'm looking at the real estate market and I'm thinking, okay, transaction volume is coming back quicker than I thought it would.
Because some places weren't even allowed to show. You know, like
Correct.
Washington State,
yeah.
California, there were areas where people weren't allowed to show homes. So then you had to
yes.
get contingencies. And the news, unfortunately, was saying the prices are going to go down. And that makes a lot of people think, well, investors are going to wait and buyers are going to wait. So this is Charleston. What is your average price range there? Or I guess it's all price range. It's all over the place, I would imagine.
It's all
right?
over the place. Yeah, I mean, from Sullivan's Island, an average of $2.1 million for what's currently on the market, down to
mm-hmm.
North Charleston, which is like $195,000. So there's
really?
A big range.
Okay, so that's really all
across,
big range.
Yeah, yeah, it's all over. It's Charleston's an international town now, really, because we have Volvo, we have Mercedes. You know, it's one of the largest ports in the world. And so there's so much demand in that market. And I think there's a lot of demand in the Carolinas in general. You know, it's a great place for people to retire. There are lots of jobs.
Charlotte, you have the big airport and hubs, you know, that big planes
yeah.
are flying in and out because it's such a big
yeah.
airport. So how far away with Charleston, how far is the airport? Or do you have to drive up to?
Sure. You know, there's a lot of direct flights out of Charleston directly. So coming from Asheville, you know, being in the mountains of Western North Carolina, I used to fly out of Charlotte all the time. And so to the airport from Asheville
okay.
was about 2.5 hours. From Charleston, it's about 3 hours.
You have enough hops, or what?
Yeah. Well, there
okay.
were enough hops. Yeah. You know, everybody, you know, to go anywhere in the world, you have to go through Atlanta, it seems like, you know, anyway. So, especially with Delta.
It's like it, right.
You know, and so
yeah.
both markets now have decent flights. Well, they did before the pandemic, you know, and it remains to be seen how quickly the airline industry is going to rebound. It may not be quite the same as the real estate. But the thing that we're facing in the Carolinas in general is we're short on supply. We've been in a seller's market for a long time. And in Mount Pleasant, where I live in that part of Charleston,
right.
there's a building moratorium. They've restricted building permits. So even the big builders
what?
That add
You're
a lot
kidding.
Of supply. Yeah, yeah. They're trying to control
development. In
Charleston,
South Carolina. They're doing a
yeah.
moratorium
yeah.
on permits? You're kidding.
Well, in the town of Mount Pleasant, yeah, which is the
okay.
bedroom community of Charleston across the bridge that I live in. And so
okay,
what's happening
so it's in
is
Mount
that's
Pleasant.
Restricting supply
okay.
even more, just in Mount Pleasant. Yeah, Mount
okay.
Pleasant's its own little town, and
not,
Charleston
not too much.
Is a town.
Okay. I don't want to cut you off because you know me, I talk. But Charleston though, okay, Charleston. How far is Charleston from Mount Pleasant, or is it just kind of like backs up to it?
It's just across the bridge, across the harbor.
Okay,
so
my thinking process, because I'm just thinking, Mount Pleasant seems so cool,
yeah.
but the moratorium would be because they don't have enough infrastructure. There's just built up too much. Is why they're doing it, or are they going to open it up in a little while? Because whenever you have
eventually
building moratoriums, there's either lack of water or there's reasons they do that you know, for more for resources.
Planning, I think, in South Carolina for growth is after the fact. It's like we grow
okay.
until the pain is on the roads is so challenging and people become so frustrated that they eventually vote in funding to help get the roads widened or appropriated. After the fact. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it seems that way. Forget the long range planning. I mean, I'm not slamming our politicians locally, I don't think, but you know, because it's uncomfortable to raise taxes. Nobody wants to raise taxes and it's expensive to build infrastructure and you know,
yeah.
It's a part of the process.
That makes
but
sense,
I mean,
though.
That part of there are, you know, in all communities, you know, there are folks that are, some are pro growth and some are not. Right? It's true.
Yeah, no, but in all communities, though, I mean, we can be realistic in the sense that in all communities all over, I mean, even around the world, like, you know, even though United States is
yeah.
a melting pot, so many times people are like, no, we don't want outsiders in. We don't want outsiders in,
right.
you know, and that's just
right.
something I think it's, I would probably say that's probably more of a this is mine or a boundary kind of thing. You know, people are just kind of
right.
being human. I want to read real quick about
right.
Charleston, South Carolina, because you're giving us such good nuggets, too, about Mount Pleasant, Charleston, Asheville. It says Charleston, for people that don't know, because Charleston, the
yeah.
South Carolina port city, founded in 1670. is defined by its cobblestone streets, horse-drawn carriages, and pastel, oh my God, antebellum houses. Oh, they still have all that, particularly in the elegant French Quarter and other Battery districts. So, wow, so it's got Battery Promenade and Waterfront Park, both overlook Charleston Harbor. And then, wow, so while Fort Sumter, a federal stronghold where the first shots of the Civil War rang out, lies across the water. So that's pretty, that, and it says they've got, that's pretty, oh, it's so historic, and
it's,
I love
an
when
incredible
they kept
city.
When they keep it. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, there's a lot of history is still there, you know, to enjoy. And you have the beauty of the coast, the South Carolina coast with the harbor. There's actually more waterfront property in Charleston than there is in L.A., you know, in Southern California, because we have two rivers. We have the Ashley and the Cooper River. And so I have a client that I'll be showing some riverfront property tomorrow afternoon. That has a boat access, you know, so that they can go out and have freshwater or saltwater fishing and recreation, you know. And so Condé Nast keeps recognizing Charleston.
Nature.
I mean, so if you once travel opens back up again, tourism is big for Charleston. One of the things that I saw that came through the Post and Courier, which is an excellent newspaper. Is that there are areas of Charleston
for guests? Posting Courier.
Yeah, the Charleston Post and Courier is the name of our newspaper in Charleston,
okay.
And they were mentioning there's discussion about making more of downtown Charleston strictly pedestrian to help the restaurants be able to have outdoor seating capacity, and so creates. Yeah, I think it's brilliant. I mean, it creates opportunities and challenges at the same time, but. Creating a more, it is a very walkable and enjoyable city. In fact, I'll ride over on my road bike from Mount Pleasant over the bridge, over the harbor, which is a lovely picturesque bridge into downtown Charleston, especially before the traffic gets very busy. It's just that close to get from Mount Pleasant into Charleston. But it's a lovely historic downtown with just incredible architecture, and yeah, I mean almost you turn a corner, there's more pictures to be taken. You know, I mean,
I
so
love
it's,
it.
You know,
can
it's
you
incredible.
Do the
place.
Outdoor cafes and everything like Europe? Kind of, can you do it in the winter? Is your winter pretty mild?
It's pretty mild. I mean, we get some cold in January, February, but it usually doesn't last. And sometimes with the space heaters. You know, you'll see folks outside. And so that the winter might be a little bit of a challenge. I mean, Asheville is much colder, my other city I love. You probably couldn't do it as much in Asheville. But Charleston, you know, with the right arrangements, you know, I think it might be a good way to kind of manage the capacity, especially in the season that we're dealing with. Because it's a food town. You know, there's so many restaurants, so many places to visit. There's an aircraft carrier that is dry docked at the Yorktown that a lot of folks like to come and see part of history too, not just the 1600s, 1700s history, but you know all the way forward. And that's actually where we get out for the swim I was telling you about. We swim down river under the big bridge, which I usually like to do on my. On my backstroke, because it's like, thank you, God, for this opportunity to be here.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Being in the harbor
but
on
now
my own power.
But I asked you before, so that's different than when you go on the lake, because I was asking you about alligators and crocodiles, right?
Yes.
Before a couple.
Yes.
So that's different.
Yes.
Okay.
That's different. Yeah,
and
it's different.
Not.
You've got other sea life, other aquatic life that you want to think about when you're in the harbor and in the ocean, but there are some lakes to swim in down there.
I guess you do when you're in the harbor or the ocean. I'm sorry, I kind of like pools. I used to get in the ocean a lot, but now as I'm older, I'm kind of like pools. I love the ocean. Don't get me wrong, and then all, but I just kind of stick to the pools. I figure I'm not strong enough to fight off those other guys, those other fish. But that I love. this is so beautiful. I'm going to look. I looked up Mount Pleasant because you said that's pretty close. I see Isle of Palms and Dewey's Island, Dewey's Island, Sullivan's Island, Charleston, and then Wando. You know, we guys are people that aren't, I mean, like we people, it doesn't sound right, but you know, you always hear about the Hilton Head and golfing and that kind of thing and when you're not around there. And So
Hilton Head, you know, is just about 2 hours to the south of us. And that's really a growing market as well. Bluffton Inland has some wonderful retirement 55 and up communities, more building permits going in down there than in our part of the state, believe it or not, because there's a real building boom, especially for retirees, you know, in Hilton Head and outside of Hilton Head and Bluffton. But we have the resort on Isle of Palms is called Wild Dunes, and a lot of people are familiar with it and go there. Some great golf and tennis just outside of Charleston. And really, you know, the the views, the plantations, all the different places to experience, you know, Charleston.
Wonderful.
If people haven't visited there, it's worth a visit. I mean, you owe it to yourself. Put it on the bucket list.
Sounds
look
like
up
it.
The Condé Nast articles about it. If you like seafood, fresh seafood, you know, and a lot of history there as well. Very, very beautiful, beautiful place. Great place for year-round living, for sure.
Tell everybody how to contact you. Of course, they can go to realityuniversal.com, and we'll put them in touch with you.
Sure.
Or radio at realityuniversal.com. But, yeah, let's get some contact information from you.
The best way to contact me is I have my name, domain at matthewledford.com. And that's a jumping-off point for all the different things I'm involved with, both in Asheville, Charleston, Fast Pivot. I'm very active on social. I think we might have met through Facebook in a Facebook post. And so
one of the other groups. Yeah, we did. We actually did.
It's neat. It's a neat opportunity to connect with social. And so, yeah, matthewledford.com, Matthew with two T's, MatthewLedford.com.
Matthew, L-E-T-T.
L-E-D.
I put L-E-D. That's what I did, L-E-D-F-O-R-D. Oh, I had it right. When you're saying Matthew, you mean two T's in Matthew.
Matthew with two T's.
Right, gotcha. That's because I put Matthew Ledford. I'm going, wait a minute, did I put that wrong? So M-A-T-T-H-E-W, two T's, Ledford. Okay. So, that's so awesome. I love it. And, that's okay. So now I'm switching over to Mount Pleasant because we've got a lot still to go over, and this is so exciting. Mount Pleasant is very close here to Charleston. I guess it says it's a large suburban town of Charleston, so it's actually a suburb, South Carolina.
Right.
It's the fourth largest municipality and largest town in South Carolina, and for several years was one of the state's fastest-growing areas, doubling in population between 1990 and 2000, and that's why your permits are on hold.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I got it.
Yeah, and the growth kept on going. I mean, it's just so they're trying to put the brakes on some of that growth, you know, over on our side of the river.
Yeah, and it is good for, you know, you need so much greenery and shrubbery and parks and green. You know, you can't build everywhere. You shouldn't build everywhere, but wow. So Mount Pleasant has its own. Yeah, go ahead.
I think about. Joe Riley, who was mayor of Charleston for like 20-some years, I heard him speak at a chamber event. He's still active and involved in the community, helping launch an African-American museum, history museum. But he said, you know, what we do in Charleston and Mount Pleasant both, I think, have subscribed to this urban planning model. And this is a Joe Riley quote, but I think the folks in Mount Pleasant have adopted it, is we want to think 20 years forward and hope that people will say about what we do, that, wow, I'm so glad somebody had the forethought to put this riverfront park here or to make this bridge so beautiful. Or, and what they wouldn't want the people to say 20 years down the road was like, oh, my goodness, why did they do that? I wish they hadn't.
Exactly.
You know, whatever.
Right.
And so we're fortunate in that, you know, we do have some lovely parks in Charleston County, both Charleston City and in the town of Mount Pleasant. And so many wonderful scenes, like the Pitt Street Bridge I was telling you about. That's a park. You know, it's part of the Mount Pleasant Park system freely accessible to the public, you know, and so that the public can enjoy the best, you know, that the community has to offer, you know, as far as beauty and enjoyment. And so, you know, one of the favorite things that started back up again with social distancing is the farmers market in Mount Pleasant, where the local farmers, they're actually – yeah, it just opened back up two Tuesdays ago, and phone orders via the CSAs. You know, it's been challenging for farmers to get stuff to market, right? And so helping the farmers that are part of the summer farmers market every Tuesday, which is usually a great, you know, local community gathering, be able to do some business in the same place next to Moultrie Middle School where they always set up, but to do it safely.
That's fantastic.
And so,
is it 6 foot social distancing? Is that what they're doing right now?
Yes.
You said they're taking orders?
They're taking pre-orders and doing cash-free transactions and limiting customers in a booth at any given time. So practicing good space management and encouraging pre-orders and CSA baskets. And so being able to get one of the blog posts that I have on my blog at MatthewLedford.com is the best tomato sandwich I've ever had. Had one of the fresh tomatoes from the Mount Pleasant Farmers Market together with it was a hot turkey sandwich on a ciabatta bread with fresh avocado that we don't grow in Charleston, but
if we
had a little mozzarella, it was good. But yeah, so there's a recipe there. If it's approaching lunchtime and folks are listening to the podcast, you may want to check out the recipe for the hot turkey sandwich, fresh and ready in the process. And thanks
avocado.
To the Farmers Market. Yeah, avocado, and we're fans of Trader Joe's stuff. I mean, I haven't met anything at Trader Joe's food-wise
Trader
that I
Joe's
didn't like.
Great.
And so Trader Joe's has the everything but the bagel seasoning. So adding a little bit of that everything but the bagel seasoning, the turkey and the cheese, and it's pretty hard to beat as a hot turkey sandwich, you know. And so all that
sounds really
the farmers at the Fresh Farmers Market.
Yeah, thanks.
You know?
That, but I'm so good because every, you know, we're finding, of course, every state is opening up differently. And then I heard the states allowing the governors and the mayors to, you know, do what they want as well. And so it's, are your restaurants opening up yet or any of that yet? Or
they are open now for outside dining only in South Carolina.
They are.
Yes.
That's great.
And so they space the tables out to have more than 6 feet of distance. South Carolina, I mean, if you've never been to South Carolina, we're kind of like Florida in that people who ride motorcycles don't always wear helmets. So if you were to fly in and you see guys riding motorcycles not wearing helmets, a lot of personal freedom. We believe a lot in personal choice in South Carolina, whether, you know. We had a work or home order from the South Carolina governor, so you either needed to be work or at home. And then as things begin to relax, they begin to open the beaches back up. With social distancing assumed, as well as outside dining permitted with social distancing intact. And so things are waking back up gradually and cautiously, you know.
It's a toughie, I'll tell you. It's a toughie because there's so many situations where somebody's they're asymptomatic and they seem fine, but they test positive, you know. So it's a weird... this is a weird one, you know. I don't know.
It is. And I heard even this morning that the quick tests are not even that accurate. I mean, it's almost like a flip of a coin whether they're going to be accurate or not. And so I have a daughter that works in the ICU in Mount Pleasant in one of the hospitals.
Oh, thank her for doing
that.
She's
like, they basically, she's a new nurse and on the front lines, and so we're super proud of her. But she says our assumption is everybody has COVID. We treat them and watch and care for them with those level of precautions. You know, and also that they've been exposed to it. So we've been really keeping our distance with her as well, which has been challenging. But, you know, when you go out, just be sure you wear your mask so that you're not spreading if you are spreading. And, you know, we're learning more every day about how this thing works and doesn't work. One of the things that's interesting, you think about behavior.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
It's and boosting our immune system is so important, you know.
Oh,
it's just
because
you're hearing so many cases where this one had it and they gave it to the other one, but the other one didn't, you know, isn't sick, and this one's it's mind-boggling because, and if we open up too fast and have to close down again, but it's going to work itself through. You know, that's where our faith comes in a huge way, right? And social distancing as much as we can. Like, I'm a hugger, and you're not hugging anybody.
Okay,
good to
I
see
miss
you.
That.
You know,
I miss
I know, but we're gonna make it. So I'm gonna go a little bit about Asheville, and then flip us back over to what your recommendations are with pivoting and all that. Because do you believe it's like we're flying here? So Asheville, I've got it says is a city in western North Carolina's Blue Ridge Mountains. That's why it's a little colder, but it must be so spectacularly beautiful. It's known for a vibrant art scene and historic architecture, including dome-topped Basilica. Oh, you've got that there. The Basilica of St. Lawrence is there. I didn't know that. The vast 19th century. Oh, this is where the Biltmore Estate is. I've always wanted to go to the Biltmore. Biltmore's Estate.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to go. I've talked to different friends that have gone. Actually, a friend of mine sent me a book on it who went down there a few years ago. It displays artwork by masters like Renoir. I know my mouth is doing tongue tying today. Renoir. How do I say that? That's so famous. The paintings. And I'm not saying it right. The downtown district is filled with galleries and museums, and in the nearby River Arts District, of course I'm reading it, former factory buildings house artists. I didn't know. I'm coming down there. I didn't know that's where that was. Oh, my gosh. I knew it was in Carolina. No, I knew it was in the Carolinas, but I didn't know. Ah, that estate is, what, huge, right? Wasn't it built over years and years?
It's massive. It's massive. I mean, it's really it's America's finest castle, you know, is what they call the Biltmore Estate. And the grounds around the estate are so meticulous and wonder. I mean, they have still thousands of acres that are around the estate. And it is kind of in the center of things, you know, protected, you know, from the rest of the city and from development, but it's very, very convenient to everything else. So being able to come and visit Biltmore and stay at the Grove Park Inn, which is also built at the turn of the century with large mountain stones that was built at about the same time as the Biltmore Estate, you know, and we're so close to the Great Smokies National Park, which is the most visited national park in the country. That
Smokies is huge.
It's huge. Yeah.
Wow.
That's why we have bears.
The Smoky,
you know, you got to have
Smoky
the
Mountains
bear.
Goes into Tennessee and other Smoky Bear. That goes into Tennessee and some other. It's pretty, the Smoky Mountains are pretty big,
it's a lot of acreage. A lot of acreage over there for sure. Yeah, but Asheville's a great jumping off point, a great place to fly into and kind of use as a base for all of these things, including the Blue Ridge Parkway, which is a lovely engineering marvel that traces along the mountaintops, really from almost Georgia all the way up into the Skyline Drive in Virginia. And so being able to see things from the car as well as do all kinds of hikes, there's so much to do in Asheville, you know, that it's now also known as Beer City USA. We have a lot of craft brewers as well as New Belgium.
Really?
Who are here.
They set up all
the
microbreweries?
Ton of microbreweries, yeah, because we have a lot of clean water, you know. And so that's one of the growth industries that Asheville is becoming known for, all the brands, you know, coming out of the mountains, you know, which is just incredible. And so Asheville is funny, you know. It's like the Mount Pleasant building thing. Sometimes you will see on the back of little Subarus, what Subaru is probably the de facto car up here, little bumper stickers that say, don't move here, you know, because it's so
beautiful. We're happy. Don't crowd us.
Right,
that happens everywhere.
Right.
And then it's always like the best kept secret, right? The best kept secret gets out and then everybody moves. And that's the problem. Nobody wants wall-to-wall people. It's not like New York City.
Right.
New York City is different. New York City, even though God bless them, because I have a good friend that lives in Manhattan. She's 90. I know a lot of different people there, but really good friend, and she's doing great with this lockdown. But whoever sees New York empty, right? It's like weird. But that's
it's
a place where you expect
experience.
It to be wall to wall. You don't want it to be wall to wall in like Asheville or those places, though, because that's so too.
Right.
No.
Have some space.
Oh my gosh.
Have some good space.
Well, what
sure.
price ranges
yeah.
in Asheville? Is it all over there too? Is it like all over the board or?
Asheville's a little tighter. I mean, views are always more expensive, whether they're views of the water, like in the Charleston market or in the Asheville market. But if you look, the median is around 300 for the median, but of course, bigger places with views. I mean, I think the most expensive thing I looked at in our multiple listing service was just outside of Asheville in Burnsville. And you can get over 1,000 acres with a mountaintop. So basically owning your own mountain for like $13 million. And so there's a big range, you know, just depends on how big the track is. But the medians and, you know, all of Western North Carolina there are opportunities. Buncombe County, I mean, we're looking at the immediate county around Asheville, the median average is at 437,000.
Really?
Just
that's
south
great.
Of us, yeah. Yeah, it's fairly affordable, some ways more affordable than a lot of Charleston. Henderson County, just to the south of us, a lot of retirees down there, some seniors communities. Average is about 337,000. And so the further you go out from downtown Asheville, the more affordable properties are per acre, as well as per square foot. But because we're kind of a hub, you know, I do have a new listing coming up, the Tryon International Equestrian Center. There's an income property coming up with tiny homes, which is a huge trend.
In Asheville?
Just outside of Asheville, yeah, down towards
well,
the
it's
line.
Well, it's going to have little tiny homes on the whole equestrian estate? You mean little teeny tiny homes that you see, like they're 200 square feet?
There are the International Equestrian Center brings in millions of people into Tryon, which is just outside of Asheville, just south of Hendersonville. And so the short-term rental market is very popular, and the property that we're getting ready to list is, I think it's 4.25 acres, already has two tiny homes on it, an RV spot, which I think a lot of more people are going to want to travel in RVs as this thing goes on and is kind of said and done. So I enjoy both the residential market as well as the investment market as well, and so that's a neat listing. That just is a sampling
that's
of
so
some
cool.
of the things that are going on
oh
in the actual area.
Oh, my gosh. Can you send me a copy? Can you send, when you list it, will you send us a copy, please?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'd love to.
Be
so
my pleasure.
I just want to think this out because, okay, so it's an equestrian center. A lot of them, I mean, with the indoor riding rinks, outdoor, I've sold a lot of farms over the years. I'm kind of like pulling back but I keep saying I'm pulling back, but I don't pull back totally at all.
you don't really slow down much.
But they would, no, but the indoor and outdoor riding rings and all that, and then the equestrian. So let me just picture this. On this property, they're going to have, like, little, like, bungalows, kind of, or
there,
people can
down,
rent
it's
out?
It's down the
or?
Road from the center. So you think about the center, there's only so much capacity for guests, right? So
right,
some people
right.
are staying even as far away as Charlotte to be able to attend the events at the equestrian center. Having more ability to accommodate heads on beds in the tourist sector in these counties outside of Asheville is one of the goals that the economic development people like, you know, because people come in. Someone was telling me yesterday that some of the Saudi princes would fly their horses in to some of the events at the Tryon International Equestrian Center. And I was like, okay, horses with air miles, that's just kind of hard for me to grasp. You know?
Hey, when you have money and they have the jets, it's like, whatever, let's go, you know?
No problem. Yeah. Load the horse up. Let's go.
I like
that.
Put
the horse in the plane. Yeah.
I like it.
So that's outside of
time. You just
got to
carry about weight.
Wow. Right. That's right. Yeah. You don't have to worry about your bags, but you got to make sure the horse is meeting racing weight, you know? I mean, it's kind of crazy.
I like this already.
But,
it.
Yeah,
so where do they?
Unique,
so the what are they?
Space.
So they're going to be able to carry it, like, and that, and you're putting it on the market for sale, right?
Well, yeah. The property that we have is just a smaller piece that's just a few miles down the road, 4.25 acre track that's already booking through Evolve, which is one of the property management groups that does a lot of property management for short term rentals. So it's really a turnkey business opportunity, and there are a number of folks I think in the Asheville market that are doing short-term rentals. It's a business that is also real estate, you know? I mean, it's both real estate and a business, different than a traditional duplex or fourplex, you know, involves some marketing, involves some management, but is definitely a wave of the future that I don't think is going away. My wife basically tells me that she thinks that Airbnb and VRBO, they're going to grow because her perception is the hotels are not as clean as the short-term rentals that we've stayed in. Maybe right, maybe not. I mean, I don't know, but
I think she's right.
People,
I think she's right.
Yeah,
I think she's right. I do think, though, from an economic standard, the hotels that make tons of money are fighting these as much as they can, you know, to stop the vacation rentals. And unfortunately, we're seeing it in a lot of towns around the country where people wanted these vacation rentals, and then now they're baby boomers and they're retiring to these places they bought before, and now they don't want them.
Right.
So between that and the hotels, I agree with your wife totally. I think we're always going to have a need. We just have to politically get it through, because that's where it's going to stop, is the politics and the zoning, because zoning will do whatever they want to do. So,
I
love it.
Nobody wants. There's a lot going on in Asheville in that area. Yeah, and a lot going on in Charleston in that space too.
I love this. So how much is that going to be listed for around? You don't have to say. I mean, if you don't know yet, you know, then.
And
we'll
it's going to be under 350.
Seriously? Oh my.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Two tiny homes.
Remember me.
And there's room to add more RV spots, which I think, you know, is really the upside on that investment. You know, you always look for what is the highest and best use, right? With any investment, it's like, well, it's a room to expand. What else can we do? You know, and it's like on 4.2 acres, 4.25 acres, you can add more spots or more tiny homes, you know, I mean, if you wanted to.
Amazing.
And then the capacity, you know, and the draw, having a draw is just such a key. I mean, for us with Asheville, you know, the equestrian center is down the road a bit, but we always have Biltmore. We always have the parkway. People want to come and hike.
Love it.
People want to come and visit and do the beer tours, you know, and so there's a lot going on, you know.
I've got to check it out. I've been to the Carolinas a lot, but not right in Asheville and not right in Charleston. I mean, I've been through, but not – I'd love it. I'm in the East Coast right now, but I go back and forth between Hawaii, and it's funny, when the planes are flying, I haven't been on a plane since February 4th, which usually I'm on a plane once a month at least, it's easy to come down south, you know, to come down, and people can spend, you can spend a long weekend, check things out. I love it. The Carolinas, so from a standpoint of economical-wise, are there a fair amount of jobs for people, or you get more and more people are working independently now than ever before, and I think that's going to continue.
Sure.
From an economy standpoint, it's pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
Overall.
You know, I think Charleston's economy is more diverse than Asheville's. Of course, Charlotte is a banking hub. Columbia is the capital of South Carolina, although it seems a little more sleepy than Charleston to me from a business development standpoint. Greenville, upstate South Carolina, has BMW. So we have BMW, Volvo, Mercedes, all in South Carolina. Asheville is more tourist dependent, although I did see that there's going to be an Amazon distribution center coming in the near future to Asheville, creating more jobs. But Asheville's economy is not as diverse, you know, as Charleston. But the beauty thing of it for me is between coming to these beautiful mountains surrounded by, you know, as much as 6,000 feet in elevation, you know, to the coast in Charleston is 4 hours without traffic. Now, if you have traffic, it can take a little longer, but for me to be able to live in what I call the best of both worlds and only have a four-hour drive between the two is incredible.
It is a best of both worlds. It is a best of both worlds in all worlds, and it doesn't sound that it, that sounds fantastic. So you can
easy.
Get away and just be in peace in the country, or then you can go down and drive and go to the ocean. Beautiful. Sounds really
good.
Great.
To have the options.
Like
good to have the options. And great people to serve in both markets, you know. I mean, it's been neat with EXP. I'm already getting referrals from other EXP agents all across the country for folks that are wanting to have their mountain dream home or their beach dream home, you know, or just relocating, you know, because of work, you know. And so it's been neat to be a part of that network and to be able to offer service to those folks, you know, by referral.
Wow. This has been wonderful. So now we went over that is like a lot of golden nuggets, a ton of golden nuggets. So with the fast pivot right now, because we're down to like 5-6 minutes, which is it goes by too fast, doesn't it? Goes by way too fast. So right now, I mean, you and I both know mindset's everything, right? And it's definitely time for people that if they're depressed and out, they need to, you know, get help, call. Praying helps a lot, and trusting and having faith is amazing. But we are going to be okay. And I'm seeing a lot and hearing a lot of people that are saying, I don't want to go back to that job. I'm not going to go do this anymore.
Right.
I've decided I want to go in another direction. You know, this has given some people time to kind of stop, right, and think, wait a minute, what are we all doing? What are we doing?
Yeah, it's huge. The opportunity to reflect is so key, because I think we all get on a treadmill, and prior to this, you know, everybody was on a treadmill to some degree. And if you ever run on a treadmill and it's going too fast, you feel like you're going to be spit off the back. And I think that's how a lot of people maybe felt coming into this. And then all of a sudden the treadmill stops and it's like, whoa, hey, this is not really what I was thinking, but there are things I like about having more time with my family. There are things I like about being able to work from a home office. There are things I like about being able to do my job on flex time. And that's one of the things the internet helped provide, freedom with our team with Fast Pivot. And now businesses are discovering that they can do, you know, virtually, mm-hmm. Is have people live their best life, you know, or, you know, God, what I call God's good, pleasing, and perfect will for them. It's like, there's a reason we're still on the planet. If we're here, there's purpose.
Exactly.
In it, right. And so discovering that purpose, like the thing we shared in the mornings, it's like, okay, what is the purpose for today? You know, who needs me? That may not be on my appointment calendar, but that might need a call or might need a text of encouragement or, you know, whatever it may be, you know. And so pivoting into the next season with gratitude, first and foremost, you know, being sure to count the blessings that God's already put there because they're there. You know, if there's breath in our lungs, and everything's all the parts are
right
working.
I always say if we have
you know,
it, you know, we wake up and have gratitude, we're alive, and until your last breath goes, I'm telling you, you hear constantly people, someone might be really sick in this, and you're saying, oh my gosh, why are they still doing this, why are they making the calls, why are they, and it's because we are supposed to live and live on purpose all the way till that last breath, because we don't know when it's going
to
be, you know, but I think the one thing that I see that I've always said is we need to live on purpose for what we feel, because our Mary Morrissey, I'm just mentioning her because she's amazing. If anybody wants to Google her, right, for so many gaspits. And she was in ministry for years and years. She's teaching people. It's called her Dream Builder programs, but she's been teaching people for 40 plus years. She's amazing. And about listen to what your heart says, listen to what your spirit says, because that voice inside that we are given from God, you know, it's part of our spirit, soul, everything, kind of knows. That's why some of us have gifts for speaking, art, writing, reading, you know, and there's things that you'll go, oh, I never want to do this thing. Well, that's because it's not your gift, right, or not something you're interested in, right? And I think that there's so many ways to make the money and make things still happen and live that life instead of working and working, like, only for the money or only for this and thinking you're going to retire and then you're going to do something. You know, I think it's really that's something – I mean, I've always been an avid entrepreneur, and I started the virtual years ago. I said, we were in brick and mortar and did it all the old-fashioned way. And 20 years ago, I said, we will leverage this and start doing it more virtually, which has been a blessing when something like this happens. But you can hear it and see in a lot of people that, you know, be you and really go to your rhythm, you know. So I think you're doing that now with everything you're doing.
That's a good word. Well, I mean, what you're talking about is in Ecclesiastes. It's like Ecclesiastes, you know, around somewhere midway through. But, you know, he's made everything beautiful in its time. So we may see the beauty in this season even more, you know, once we come through it. But he's also set eternity in our hearts, you know. And so there's something in the heart of us, you know, to find out the work that God has done, you know, from beginning to end. And so part of what we have,
beautiful.
I mean, I feel like all of life is stewardship. We're given the days to be good stewards of them and the talents that have been placed in us. We're all made different and unique, and that's awesome, you know? And I'm thankful for people whose gifts are different than mine because I can work together with them and they can do things that I'm not good at,
and
you know? And so being able to appreciate
that. It's never boring, right? It's never boring.
No.
If you appreciate it, it isn't boring.
Yeah.
The people that go, no, I don't want to be, because you're not like me or you're not this or go do this and go do this. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm not supposed to be like you, and vice versa. You're not supposed to be like me. And then it's never, if we embrace it and respect it and go, wow, this is really cool, and I can learn and you can learn, because we always have something to learn, you know, from everybody. And
absolutely.
I think then it makes it exciting. So it's about changing those mindsets, right? Changing that a little bit. And we can change from today. It's a new day. Like you said earlier, today's a new day, right?
Absolutely. And I think the battle for the mind, too, is, I mean, because we have so many devices that are throwing stuff at us. And I'm an internet guy. I mean, I love the benefits the internet brings. But what I guess I would caution folks is to guard your eyes and your ears, the things that are coming in, and assess, is this true or is this not? Is this beneficial or is it not? I mean, I think in Philippians it talks about whatever's of good report, whatever's virtuous, whatever's praiseworthy or beautiful. Think on these things. Think on the things that are noble or just or pure or lovely, you know, and because it's like the thing that our culture is getting so divided that we've got to bring more love. We've got to bring more positivity.
Totally.
And we've got to go after the higher level things to live together, you know, on this planet.
Absolutely.
In one race, the human race, you know.
And we're built to be community. We are at the end. Oh, my gosh. So you're going
to
come back, right? Because we're going
to
have you on again. And I'm definitely going
to
come to Carolina and refer and keep in touch because you're awesome.
Absolutely.
So we're at the end.
Thank
and you. I appreciate this. I don't like it when we get to the end because I always want to go every, you know,
There's more.
Thank you so much, so much. And to everybody out there, I wish you peace. This is Realty Universal Radio. Thank you.